This machine is working well. Great. That's really good. It's lovely to have come up to speak and feel that the platform's been laid and set, really, particularly that song. I've been asked to speak about the Good Shepherd. And it's John 10, John chapter 10. And I've picked out these verses in particular for us. First of all, a confession. I need to make a confession because when I'm the Good Shepherd is a great theme and it's like really familiar to me. But you know, when I was young, I was a pig farmer, kept pigs. My partner on the farm kept the sheep. And to be honest, I regarded sheep as stupid, smelly, awkward, clumsy, and ugly things, really, compared with pigs. So, you know, I had something to overcome thinking about sheep and shepherds. But and so one of the lovely things is, of course, I can look out at you and you're all sheep. We're all sheep. Ugly, smelly. Actually, do you know what? The wonderful thing is that the point of this passage is actually that God ultimately wants us to be shepherds. He wants each of us to shepherd sheep, and he wants us to shepherd, first of all, ourselves. He wants you to look in the mirror. Who am I shepherding first? And it's your responsibility. It's all of our responsibility. Whatever age we are, first of all, we shepherd ourselves, following the Good Shepherd. But you know, what is it about sheep then? There are so many things, but this passage makes it clear there's some really, really big ones. And two of the very big ones in Jesus' time were, one, the sheep were led. The sheep followed the shepherd because he cared for them. And the second one was the sheep heard his voice and listened to his voice. And they knew his voice. They knew the voice of Jesus. And for those two reasons at least, we need to be like sheep. We need to follow our shepherd and we need to know his voice. This passage in front of you up on the screen, verses 10 and 11, isn't it? And I just wanted to pick up on these because there's four phrases there. And it's one of those lovely, amazing pieces of the Bible where you could take those four phrases, you could put them almost in any order you liked, and it would still make sense. And do you know, when I was first preparing this, I really ignored the first part of verse 10, which was that phrase, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and live it to the full, or as I've put in the purple there, abundantly, because that's the old authorized version, and I actually think that's a better expression of it. Abundant life is what we're called to have. But those words, steal, kill, and destroy, I kind of felt, yeah, I need to speak about these. Because it says the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Do you know, the fact is that in our Christian lives, in our experiences, we also put ourselves in positions where we also manage to do damage to ourselves. Did you know that? Who's had that experience? And we so far often fall short. And you can blame the enemy. Of course, this world is dominated. You've only got to read the news, haven't you, to realize what a difficult world we live in. And the powers that be in this world are not godly powers. And the climate we live in is not a godly climate, but we are called to march to the beat of a different drum, to the call of a different shepherd, and to have those values which belong to him. If you think about steal, kill, and destroy, let's think of words which mean the opposite. If you think about stealing, our God is a giving God, and he calls us to give. The abundant life consists of giving. To kill, to revive, restore, make new, to create new life. This is what we're called to do in the abundant life. And if you think about destroy, we're talking about building up in every way. And these are the significant things, really. when we're talking about the abundant life that Jesus brings, this is what we should be about for each other. We should be about building each other up. We should be about giving to one another. And we should be about creating new life and reaching out to others who need Jesus. And then he says, doesn't he? He says, I am the good shepherd. And that's qualified. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. When I was young, there was a great controversy in the church over shepherding styles. And there was heavy shepherding and all that stuff. But Jesus kind of cuts that to pieces. He says, the shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. You want to know who's a good shepherd? Does he care? Does he make sacrifices? Where's his attention? Where's his focus? But I also want to focus on you. It's not about somebody else. This is about you looking in the mirror. What's my motive to be a shepherd? It is actually that I should give. What God has given me, I give to somebody else. And that's the essence of it. That's the real heart of it. One thing I've battled with, I guess, is one of the things that cuts me down and makes it, is a sense of my own shortcomings and disappointment. So I'm 62 year old. I have a large family. I have incredibly. I've done. You know, God has blessed me so much, and yet in my certain moments, it's easy for me to sit down and think back to the things I dreamed about when I was young. I would have this, I would have that, I would have the other, I would have done this, I would have done that. And do you know what? I haven't done any of it. And sometimes you can look at that and feel really disappointed and crushed. We know that life sometimes deals us cruel blows. There are those who have been through divorce, separation, lost relationships, been bereaved. These things are part of life, and we are called to actually follow our good shepherd in the middle of them. It's not, I was talking to Paul yesterday, a lovely conversation, but I think we ended up both with tears in our eyes, but Paul was telling me about some of his experiences with his son and what are the times when he felt most lost and most in pain and most in difficulty over his family. And you know what God gave him in that time was a peace, a certain peace, a peace that passes understanding, a peace that means that somehow the perspective changes, that you can face these troubles, you can face these difficulties. And that's one of the characters of God. But sometimes we also nurse and nurture a certain shame, a certain secretive bitterness about the things that have happened to us. These words about Jesus, it says he's the great and only Savior going to the most holy of all places to defend the worst of all sinners. The worst crimes before the highest judge demands the greatest defense. There is no court higher than God's. There is no judge higher than God. There is no crime worse than mine. And there is no Savior like Jesus. Jesus is a good shepherd, more specifically the great shepherd, the one who secures access to the Father for us. And he is the one who sustains our access to the Father by the fact that he is always before the Father interceding for us. He is the way maker. And he is the way. He grants access and he is himself access. He brings us to the throne and keeps us before the throne. I suppose really this is about hearing the voice of Jesus and coming to Jesus. If I press that one, it'll go on to the second slide. Yeah, it will. Oh, that's right. Jesus says in the John's Gospel, John portrays Jesus making these I am statements. And I picked out that particular visual aid because it puts the I am in the middle and the statements around the outside. And that was the perspective I was looking for, really. Because when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, He is saying, I am the shepherd God, okay? Now, he makes these statements. They're statements about who God is. Harking back to Moses in the burning bush, when Moses was called to go and lead Israel, he met God in a burning bush. God came down to earth and appeared before him and gave him a mission. And God said, I am that I am. It was Yahweh. It was the holy God, the most holy God, standing before Moses. Jesus came to earth, and Jesus is God. Come to earth. He died for us, rose and ascended in heaven. He remains God for us. He remains our shepherd God. But he calls us to follow him, to follow his voice, to connect with him. God is with us. When we sing about a good, good God, it's true. He's with us. All those characteristics of God are with us in the darkest places, in the deepest places. There's a perspective on trouble I wanted to bring. I really felt strongly I wanted to bring. And it's about something about the big picture. I think Jesus knew exactly how powerful this Good Shepherd story is, that analogy is. And he knew exactly, he would have known Psalm 23, would have known the history so well. And I don't think David wrote Psalm 23 when he was a young man. I think he wrote it when he was old, reflecting on his life. And it was a case of, through all the troubles and all the things I've seen, God is with me. He's a good God. Ooh, wrong way. This is a big picture, isn't it? It's the water cycle. God is a good God. He reigns on the earth. He creates life. Life comes in just the same way as life comes because God has made this creation great. When we follow Jesus, when we follow the shepherd, life comes to us. His life grows in us. His spirit is in us, and as we invite him to guide us, he does. But you can say, well, where's that in the Bible? Well, actually, let's read Psalm 104, because that's exactly where it is. But this is a big picture about the big God. You send fresh streams that spring up in the valleys and the cracks between hills. Every animal of the open field makes its journey there for drink. Wild donkeys lap at the brook's edges. Birds build their nests by the stream, singing among the branches, and the clouds too drink up their share, raining it back down on the mountains from the upper reaches of your home. I guess that's heaven, isn't it? Sustaining the whole earth with what comes from you. And the earth is satisfied. That's just a picture of the big picture, if you like. Sometimes it's necessary in the times when we are feeling most knocked, either through one of these great, through a bereavement or through something that's happened, when we're most knocked, we sometimes have to put the statement, God is good, in front of how we actually feel about it. And we just have to focus on God to give us strength. And he shows and reveals his way. As the journey unfolds. His big picture is so big. His purposes are so amazing. Our role in it is really so small. And here we are today, as a local church, trying to be the kingdom of God on earth, trying to be shepherds to our community, trying to love people. Want to move on a little bit. This is a picture in the Scottish Gallery. It's actually, probably can't see it very well. It's a shepherd piping, a shepherd boy piping for the sheep. I was just wanting to make this point about hearing the voice of Jesus. And I want to read you a little story. I've got an old book about Psalm 23, and I want to read this a bit to you. says, a few years ago, and this was written probably in the 30s, so this might go back to the 20s or even earlier. A few years ago, two ministers were having a holiday among the Welsh mountains. In the course of their walking over, they sat down to rest far up in the hills, and they got into conversation with a shepherd boy who was minding his sheep. To their astonishment, they found that somehow he had missed the privileges of education and hardly knew anything. He seemed to have been removed from church or Sunday school, and the two travellers began to talk to him in simple language about God. When they parted from him, they said to him, "Just remember five words and think of each word as standing for the thumb and fingers of your left hand. And with your right hand, grasp the thumb and fingers one by one as you say the words." And the words they gave to him were, "The Lord is my shepherd." So if you do this, it goes like this. It goes, the Lord is my shepherd. You got that? The Lord is my shepherd, yeah. The ministers thought nothing more of this and went on their way. The following year, in the same mountains, they came to a cottage and stopped to ask for food and were taken into the front room of the tiny Welsh home. On the mantelpiece was a photograph of the boy, which kindled their memories. And one of the ministers said to the old woman who was preparing their food, "I'm certain I have seen that boy before." The woman said she thought it extremely unlikely, as it was the photograph of her son who had been killed during the previous winter. He had apparently been going over after sheep in a storm, had fallen over a precipice and lain for many hours on a ledge before he could be found. It was suggested that he was in great pain before he died. The minister, however, remembered that it was the boy whom they had met the year before, and he told the mother the circumstances of what happened. With a strange light in her eyes, she said, "Why, sir, then perhaps you can explain something that has always puzzled me. When he was found, he was quite dead, but with his right hand, he was grasping tightly the third finger of his left hand." "Yes," said the minister, "I can explain that." And he told her what had happened. "The Lord is my shepherd." The boy gripping the third finger of his left hand had been resting in that simple, newly found truth in the hour of his dying. And he goes on to say that's a ring finger, of course, isn't it? But it's a lovely story. The Lord is my shepherd. I am the good shepherd. It kind of brings two things together. There's some lovely sheep. It's not that I'm prejudiced against sheep. They're beautiful animals. But this is a rather nice little word study. Warren Wisby, I think this is, but taking those phrases from the 23rd Psalm, those promises of God, and just linking them up with the names of God from the Old Testament. And it reinforces a point I was making, that it's God, the shepherd God. It's Jesus, the shepherd God. Jesus, the great shepherd, the shepherd God. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Shalom, my peace. Jehovah Rapha, my healer. Jehovah Tsidkenu, my righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. In the presence of my enemies, that's Jehovah Nissi. That's God is my banner. And the final one, God my sanctifier. The shepherd keeps us. The shepherd is with us. I'm the good shepherd, Jesus said. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Do you know, we are followers of Jesus, but we need to be worshippers more so. And I think that's really where I'm going to end. It's a call to worship in whatever circumstances we're in, and a call actually to get a little bit closer to Jesus again. It's a call not to let disappointments, bitterness, angry with God, don't let those things hold you back. He is a good, good father. The way he sets out is a way of eternal life. It's not just about how you feel now. It's your destiny forever in following Jesus. Jesus said, I am the door, I am the shepherd. He said, I have authority to lay my life down, and I have the authority to take it up again. When he said that, he was either mad or he was God. The events and the facts, I think, prove that he was God. He was our shepherd, God. And we should worship him in whatever circumstances we find, in whatever circumstances we are. We need to lift up our thanks and our praise to our good shepherd. So I think the band are going to come back. My appeal really is, as the band play and lead us in worship at the end, let's pray for one another. If you want prayer over anything that's come up this morning, let's pray for one another. I pray that you will hear the voice of Jesus, that you will open your heart to him and hear the voice of Jesus in a new way.